Second Chronicles 35, we're looking at verse 20 through 22, 20 through 22, and it reads from the King James Version of the Bible, amen, King James Version. After all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on Euphrates, and Josiah marched out to meet him in battle. But Necho sent messengers to him, saying, "What quarrel is there between you and me, O king of Judah? It is not you I am attacking at this time." I'm sorry, this is another version of the Bible. "But the house with which I am at war. God has told me to hurry, so stop opposing God who is with me, or he will destroy you." Josiah, however, would not turn away from him, but disguised himself to engage him in battle. He would not listen to what Necho had said at God's command, but went on the plain of Megiddo. I'm sorry, I thought I had the King James Version written. Just bear with me for 1 second. I like to read that King James Version of the Bible. And it reads again at verse 20 in my Bible, the King James. "After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, 'What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God. Who is with me that he destroy thee not?' Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, came to fight in the valley of Megiddo." Amen. I like to use as a subject, just slow down and get it right. Come on, just turn to your neighbor. Just tell him, slow down and get it right. Come on, turn to somebody else. Just say, just slow down. Get it right. Amen. Slow down and get it right. I want to talk to you all about the importance, really, of just slowing down. I mean, you can save yourself a lot of problems if you just slow down. We race through life, all of us do. Let's face it, our society has trained us to try to go after and get what we need as fast as possible, hasn't it? Society is fast. We have our fast foods. Everything is fast. Fast cars. Let's just get it and get it done. We try to race to keep up with the Joneses. Try to earn as much money as possible so we can look like everybody else. We try to do enough to drown our problems in just busyness. We try to stay as busy as we want, especially leaders and spiritual leaders in our society. We try to please everyone because we don't want to be left out. No one does. And so we just speed to survive and to look like we have it all together. We are just simply a very busy people doing a lot of things, and none of what we are doing is making life better, nor is any of it pleasing to God. Isn't that sad? Looking like you're doing something and God is not pleased. That's a shame. Now, as believers, we need to slow down. We need to slow down enough and just get it right. We can be good Christians who love the Lord and still not do things right in the eyes of God. King Josiah, we just want to talk about him just briefly. He was this young king of Judah, and he is an example of someone who was good and did great things for God all the way to the end of his life, but one bad decision ended his career. King Josiah teaches us that as long as we have one more breath, one more hour, one more day, we have more than enough time to do the wrong thing. If you have one breath today, you can get it wrong. The Bible says in reference to King Josiah, there was no king like unto him before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. You get the impression that this young man was so good that he could possibly get away with a few things, listen, and escape a few consequences if he in fact got it wrong. In 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles, listen, we learn a lot about this young man. The first thing we learn is that he became king at the age of 8. 8 years later, he began to seek the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and all of his mind. What am I saying here? You don't have to be old to seek the Lord. This young man did some great things at the very age of 18. Now, when I spoke this message not too long ago, I shared with some people how there have been a lot of young people in our culture that have done some great things at the age of 14. I shared with them this young black male who wrote a program. 4 years later, he was worth $3.5 million. 14 through 18. All of these, I shared with them six people who became multimillionaires before they were 20 years old. What am I saying? You don't have to be old to do some great things. Young people, you can be at the age you are now and you can shock the world. You can create something. You can make a difference in our society if you simply put your mind to it. But this young man at 16, he sought after the Lord with all his heart. He got to a point that he purged all of Judah. He purged Judah of all of its idolatry, and he took down all of the altars. He got rid of anything that could resemble godliness. He just purged his home. Well, what is that saying to us? We all need to purge our home. There's something in our homes and in our communities, listen, that we need to get rid of. There's something that we need to pull down and destroy and crush and turn it to powder. Why? So our children, listen, won't see those things, listen, and become a strong force later in life. This young man, he purged all of Judah. The Bible says that after he got rid of stuff, all of the idols and all of the false gods, he then repaired the house of the Lord. Listen, we all need to get into a mindset that the house of God is sanctified, that it's some place that we need to keep clean and that we need to take care of and we need to watch out for. After that, the Bible says that he made a covenant with God and caused all the land to form a covenant with God. Then he reinstituted the Passover. They hadn't done the Passover in decades. But here is the problem. At the age of 39, only 31 years into his reign, this young king meddled into a fight that he was warned to stay out of, and he lost his life. You mean a young man as good as Josiah, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, because he meddled in a fight, he lost his life? Yes. We're going to get there. Listen. This is a lesson for all young people. And well, we'll get there later. Josiah spent his entire reign doing God's business, but for some unknown reason, he couldn't resist involving himself into someone else's business. How many of you have that problem? How many have ever had that problem? Am I the only one? Y'all ain't real. I've had that problem. Normally, this young man would consult God before he jumped into something, before he did anything. He did like his father David. But on this particular day, Josiah didn't take heed to the warning of King Necho, who told him that he had no problem, listen, with Judah, and that he was going, listen, to Carchemish to do God's work. He said, listen, Josiah, listen, what I'm doing God's bidding. God told me to rush up to Carchemish, listen, and bring them down. I have no beef with you. But Josiah, listen, didn't listen, and he disguised himself, went out to war, and while sitting upon his horse, he was struck with an arrow. The Bible says that they rushed him back to the kingdom, and there he died at the age of 39. Josiah kind of reminds me of a lot of people today, and perhaps maybe some of you. You're good people, excellent people. You love the Lord. Some of you know you used to run the streets and do some wild things, but you turned your heart toward the Lord. You gave yourself to God. Listen, now you're going to church and you're serving God and working in the church. And at the moment, you're just, you know, at a moment you might be struggling, but you started after a while meddling into things you had no business meddling into. How many have ever meddled into things they know had no, they have no business meddling in? Now, I don't know what you're meddling in, and I think all of us meddle in something. All of us get into things that we have no business being into. Perhaps you're living the basic routine life like everyone else. That's meddling, believe it or not. Maybe God has called you to do something. You haven't done it yet. Maybe God has given you a dream, has given you a vision. You have yet to step out. And you're still doing all of the basic routine stuff. I'm sorry to let you know, if you're doing routine stuff, you're meddling into stuff you have no business being in. Perhaps you are saying things about people when you should be quiet. Maybe you're hurting someone because, I don't know, maybe you hurt someone. Maybe you're pleasing. Maybe you're going places that God has told you not to go. Maybe you're doing the right things for your family, but you know God has another course of action for your life. Perhaps God has directed you to do something that doesn't make sense and you haven't done it yet. If that is the case, you're still meddling. Now, what am I saying? You're doing some good stuff, but you're not doing God stuff. It's no good to just do what is good. God wants you to do exactly what he tells you to do. What good is it to do stuff? This young man did that which was right. Listen, but it wasn't what God wanted him to do. He jumped into a fight that he had no business being in. Josiah was fighting the right enemy, but he was doing it at the wrong time. Josiah was fighting the right enemy, but it's a good possibility he was fighting an enemy that God, listen, that God wanted someone else to bring down. Josiah was doing that which was right, but he was doing the wrong thing. Now, as good and honorable as you are, and as busy as you are doing the right thing, I'm here to let you know that you need to slow down and get it right. You need to slow down and examine exactly what you are doing in life and make sure that what you're doing is what God wants you to do. You need to slow down and make sure if you're singing that God wants you to sing, if you're trying to preach that you are actually doing what God wants you to do. Now, there are some things, and we're going to do this very quickly, that I want to share with you and some areas of our life that we need to slow down in and get it right in order, listen, that we may have a productive and successful life to keep us what, and also to keep us from dying prematurely. Josiah died before his time because he meddled in something that God didn't want him in. Well, number one, come on, here it is. All of us need to slow down. Listen, all of us need to slow down and get our prayer lives right. Everybody in this place needs to slow down. You know how it is. We can get too busy sometimes to pray. We want to pray, but we have so many other things to take care of that we don't find the time to even talk to the Lord. The only time we get with the Lord is when we come to these services and when we go to worship services. But all week long, we didn't spend any time with God. We need to slow down and get our prayer lives right. Listen, I heard a young man say, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Listen, when we fail to pray, not only do we miss valuable insight from God, but we leave our inheritance, which is our children and our finances, vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. But what am I saying? Listen, Josiah, as good as he was, if you notice and you go back and read the scripture, not one time that the Bible said that Josiah led the nation in prayer. Listen, a prayerless nation is an unprotected nation. A prayerless nation does not leave an inheritance for the next generation. The Bible says that when Josiah died, that the next king that rose up was his son, and he did that which was evil in the sight of God. wait a minute, you mean as good as this young man was, as much as he loved the Lord, that his son was not developed in the things of Christ, and he didn't raise up a son that carried on the ways of his father? No, because the Bible not one time said that he taught his children or the land how to know God for themselves. The best way, listen, to keep a ministry, listen, and an association going, listen, is to raise them up and praying. Teach people to know God for themselves. Listen, because when the leader isn't there, somebody, listen, needs to get a word from God. And it can't just be the leader. Josiah was getting the word from God. But when he died, listen, the voice of the Lord died right along with them. That's a shame that we go to the grave, that we build powerful ministry, and we go to the grave, and we don't leave a legacy behind. Something is wrong with that picture. I heard a pastor say, listen, that in our culture, in the black culture, that fathers are jealous of their sons. They don't want to leave nothing behind to make sure that their sons, listen, take it to the next level. And so they don't teach them the stuff, listen, in order for them to take it to the next level. I'm here to let you know, prayer is what we need to teach. Prayer is the very thing that we need to instill in the people. We got to get people to the point that they can discern for themselves, that they can hear the voice of God when they're on the job or when they're riding down the street in their vehicle. Why? Because one day you might be riding down the street and God may try to speak to you, but he can't get through because you never learned to hear his voice. And a car can be coming through the intersection, and listen, at that very moment and hearing his voice, you can stop and the car go by and save your life. You know, that just happened to me last week. I was coming down Preston Street driving, and listen, and the light turned green, and listen, I was about to pull off, but something to the right of me caught my attention, and I stopped, and a car flew right and missed me by that much. That would have been my life at that very moment. God set me up to live. The Bible said, I set before your life and death. He said, choose life, and I chose life because I chose to hear his voice. We need to teach people how to hear from God themselves. The leaders of the departments can't be the only one, listen, that know the voice of God and know how to get direction. We need to hear the voice of God because we need to know if we should be following someone or not. And I'm not talking about in ministry. I'm talking about there are places that we go throughout the day, and listen, we will encounter and come in contact with people that don't do us right or don't mean us right. And we need to know if we should be associating with them or not. You don't know who you're associating with half the time. In fact, you don't know who you walk by half the time. As many murderers as we see on television, perhaps you walk by one just today. Can you imagine out of all the people that get killed and murdered, there's a good possibility some of you working with a murderer and don't even know it. A future murderer, and you might be getting ready to form a relationship with them. You need God's voice. Because the one thing I know about God, God said, back up. If you get too close to someone, God will sever it. Listen, as long as you can discern, you need to discern. Slow down and get that right. Slow down and learn his voice. Slow down and find out who God is for yourself. Listen, the people who become the greatest leaders are those who have learned to slow down and to hear his voice and get direction. Listen, next, we need to slow down. And not only do we need to slow down and learn the voice of the Lord, but we need to slow down and take care of ourselves. That's a big one. People don't quite understand that one. You mean God wants me to stay in shape? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You don't believe me, do you? The Lord dealt with me on that particular one for the longest time. He said, listen, in the kingdom, there's spiritual warfare. He said, and it takes a strong vessel, a physical vessel, to get into the fight and to make something happen. And if you're too tired, you're not going to feel like fighting. He said, you need to keep the body in shape because you need a strong physical body to fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness and high places. He said, if you're too tired, Instead of praying, you're going to go to sleep. Exercise keeps you energized. I just made that up. Exercise keeps you energized. Don't use that. That might be a slogan. I'll make a little bumper sticker out of it. But exercise keeps you energized. The better you eat, the more you work out, the more energy you have. Listen, I don't war like I did when I first got saved. Boy, when I first got saved, I would jump on my knees and I could be down there for 2 hours doing spiritual warfare. I mean, God was doing some miraculous things. God was taking me into places. I was doing visitations and God was sent there. I've seen things that a whole lot of people have never seen. Why? Because I sought the Lord. The Bible said, what does the Bible say? You must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I was rewarded because I diligently sought him. So I would get on my knees and I got saved at the age of 22, jumped on my knees and started a prayer life. And I could be down there for 2 and 3 hours and God rewarded me because I spent so much time with him. But now I'm not 22 anymore. And I don't fight like I used to fight. I can get on my knees today and it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to get down there and sometimes it's hard to get back up. It ain't the same. I don't have that unction, that power that I once had as a young man. And sometimes that God will allow me to have warfare with different enemies. And they will come and God will allow them to come into my presence. And God will say, I need you to war. Listen, against this enemy. He said, it's not your enemy, but it's the sister who sits next to you in church. And it's the brother at the end of the pew. They can't fight for themselves. And so I need you to war for them. And I will war for them. Because I had energy to war. Why do you think the armed forces send out young men? They don't come get people like me. They don't send me draft letters. They go after out teenagers. Why? Because according to the scripture, the epistles of John, they are strong and they can fight. They have what it takes to go into war and to knock somebody down. They have the agility and the ability to do things that I can't do anymore. And God said, in order for you to wage war against the type of enemies that we're fighting, you need to slow down and take care of yourselves. You need to start walking again. I'm sorry to tell you all that. Y'all gonna hate me for the day it's out, aren't you? You need to start, because that's what God told me. He said, man, you can't jog. Just start walking. I said, God, I want to start jogging. He said, no, I don't think you want to do that. I think you need to start walking. He said, at this time, he said, if you start walking today, maybe by this time next year, I'll have you jogging. He said, I can get your muscles back to that place. He said, you know, my sons, they stay in the gym. That's all they do. They just lift weights. They take all that energy mixed stuff. I don't know what's wrong with them. They get sick in the head. But anyway, but they do all of that. And I noticed that my oldest son, he has developed as well into a great prayer warrior. And he can spend hours in prayer talking to the Lord. Listen, because he has the energy. And I look and I marvel because I used to be like that. And sometimes I feel quite jealous. I do. I feel a little upset because I can't do what I used to do. And he's praying more than me. I'm the father. How dare he pray more than I do? You know, maybe it is true. Fathers are jealous of their son. I don't want my son to outdo me. But no, I'm kidding. Yes, I do. I want him to be greater. I want him to be better. I want him to be so prepared. Because if something ever happens to me, perhaps he will be the one that takes over. Perhaps he the one that will take care of his younger brothers and sisters. So I want to make sure that I leave something behind and put in them what they need in order for them to be powerful. And not only that, but God wants us to do this warfare and so we can pray for our young. Why? Because the next generation, I'm sorry to tell you, is in trouble. With each generation, they get spiritually weaker, mentally weaker, emotionally weaker, and maybe not physically weaker. But they get weaker. They can't take stuff like the last generation. The mothers of the last generation could take a hit and keep on going. They can hang in a very tough situation and keep on going. The next generation came. They could take a little bit more than this generation that's being raised up today. They lack the spiritual and mental toughness of the last generation. That's why we need to teach people to pray as well, going back to prayer. So they can, God can get a hold of them and develop that mental and emotional toughness that they need to become a success. You can't start something and stop and expect to get somewhere. If you start something and you take a couple steps back, you ain't going nowhere. God needs people who are risen up that can take something and keep on going. So they need that toughness. So we need to slow down and take care of ourselves. Listen, next, we need to slow down and make sure that our children are in church. Now, I wrestle with this because I have these parents, listen, that come to church and they find other places for their children to go. I struggle. That makes me mad. And I'm not a mean man. But that makes me mad. It makes me upset because I realize that there is a moment in a child's life where you have to put the right things in them. There is a season. And you must take advantage of that opportunity and get in them what they need at the proper season. It's too late at 21. It's too late at 25. Doesn't mean they won't be saved. But when you're trying to get the right things in a child, you got to do it at the right season. What you do today in a young person's life, listen, will show up in the latter part of their lives. When I had children, I told you I had 5 children. Interesting enough, each time my wife got pregnant, I lost a job. I did. Each time my wife got pregnant, they gave me a pink slip. They gave me a layoff notice. They moved the company to another state. What is that? That's a curse. I mean, they got out of Dodge every time my wife got pregnant. So I found myself at home with these little things, these little tiny babies that I was afraid to hold because they were so fragile. And I would stay at home, and you know what I did? I consecrated all 5 of my children myself as their father. Their mother didn't do it. Their daddy did it. I lift them before the Lord for hours at a time and gave them to God. I will walk around the house worshiping and praising until I could feel the thickness of the anointing so much that tears flow down my shirt and soak my shirt, consecrating all of my children. I have excellent children. Amen. I am not going to lie. Amen. And it wasn't because of what I did. It was because of what God set up for me to do. To leave an inheritance, to make sure that I was at the Bell's Bondsman every week. That I didn't have to worry about a child coming home, listen, with a new baby every 2 years. God set it up at a very young age. He prepared a season for me to consecrate them. Take advantage of the season. If you have young children, listen. If you have young children, this is the time to put in them the anointing. This is the time, listen, to shape their mind and their thinking, to do the right thing. And from a very young age, I told them about sex. From the time they came out the mother's womb, I challenged them. I talked to them. Let me tell you what you shouldn't do. I did all of that from a very young age. I was very, and you know, my wife and I, we are very open. Very, very open. Now, that sounds really nasty when you know Hollywood. Yeah, we're not swingers. We speak out of our mouths truth. We don't play around with anything. We call it what it is. If it's that, that's what it is. And so we prepared our young children at a very young age. We had open dialogue with them at a very young age. Why? Because what they don't learn at home, they're going to learn on the streets. We made sure that everything that they know, listen, in life, they learn from us and nobody else. Nobody should tell them, listen, how things are except the parent. The parent is the most powerful influence in the life of a child. A parent, listen, is the one that passes on generational blessing. It is the parent that does that. My God, I pray, listen, that you don't leave your child unprotected, that something else outside the door, listen, will pass on what you know they should have. It is your job to pass on the blessing. Some of you might be saying, well, my son is all messed up. My daughter is all like, stay on your knees. While you driving in your car, keep on praying. Don't you understand what prayer can do? It can pierce and transcend time and cause stuff to change. Listen, even with an older child, keep on praying and watch what God does. But at this time, slow down. Slow down. Take care of those children. James Dobson used to say, and I remember listening to him on the ready one year, they did this study about different women. And women, I'm not getting on you. My wife is a preacher. But they did a different study on women ministers. They looked at and they tried to gauge the anointing of a woman who stayed home and cared for a child, opposed to a woman who said she had ministry, abandoned those children, neglected those children, and went out and did her ministry. And they noticed that the women, listen, who took those formidable years and raised those children and put them what they need before they started ministry, had the greatest anointing, had the greatest power, had the greatest unction and ability for healing and deliverance. Take advantage of the child. Listen, take advantage of the season while your child is young. Listen, not only that, how much time do I have? Not only that. So not only must you slow down. That's zero. Is that a zero? 5 minutes. Not only must you slow down and pray and slow down and take care of yourself and slow down and take care of your children, but you must, men must slow down and start reconnecting with one another. Have you noticed how men will stay home? Sometimes wives want them to leave the house, but they still won't leave. They will sit in front of a television all night long. Baby, why don't you just go out with some of the brothers? And they're still there. Men need to slow down and start reconnecting with their brothers. It is something about brothers being engaged with one another that creates strength, that creates power, that creates anointing. Have you ever been in a room with men, listen, who praise God together? Oh, my God. It is an experience. Who learn to worship and learn to encourage one another. They gain strength, listen, like I've never seen before. Does that mean that I expect men, listen, to leave their pregnant wives home? No, I don't expect you to do that. I expect you to go home and take hand of your business. But at some point, men have to learn how to do what men did years ago. Form a community of males. It's all gone, people. The biggest community of men that we know of today is in prison. They come together every day. We see a community of men hanging on the corner. But God is saying, I need a strong community of positive, saved men to come back together again so that the youth of today will see the strength of the men today and become strong tomorrow. God needs men to reconnect, to again to socialize, to encourage one another. I would not have made it in my relationship if it wasn't for men. I had a good, strong group of men around me, and I loved them, and particularly my brother. When my wife and I struggled in our relationship, and we did, for years we struggled trying to make a relationship. And I would get with my brother. I needed someone to talk to. And I'd get with my brother, and he'll come pick me up, and I'll sit in the car with him in front of the house, and he'll let me air out. Man, if she did this, and I get this, I'm tired of this. I think I want out. And I just went to work. Now, I didn't put my wife down like that, but I just shared with him. And he would listen, and he would listen, and he would listen. Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Yeah, I feel you on that. You know, those type of things. He would really engage me and pull me in. And then when I was all said and done, he said, get out of this car and go back into the house with your wife. As good as she is to you, boy, what's wrong with you? I needed someone like that, that kept me in check, who made me accountable. I thought he had my back. Technically, he did. He made sure I did the right thing. That's a male. That's a man. He didn't put my wife down. In fact, he might love my wife more than I love her. No, I'm kidding. But he loves her, and he learned to respect her and to see the good in her. And as a result, God has blessed our relationship, and now we do marriage conferences all over the place. Amen. Come on and give God a praise. There's so much more I want to say, but Lucas gave me this. I don't know if that, you don't stop, I'm going to hurt you. I don't know if that's what that is, but I will stop. I will not conclude. I will obey. Amen. I pray that you all got something out of what I shared tonight. Amen. Please, if there's one thing that you can do, start at the top of the list. Slow down. Let's go back to prayer. Let's go back to our knees and on our faces and talk to the Lord. Isn't God good? God, there is no God like the God that we serve. In the darkest hours, he has a way, listen, of turning things right side up. You can go down full of doubt, but when it's all said and done, you come up with faith. You come up with the power of believing that you can do anything and that you can speak to any force on the face of the earth, because that's how our Father operates. He'll let you come one way, but when he gets done with you, you're a whole new person. Amen. Come on, give God a praise.